Thank you for tuning in to this message from Kingdom Heirs International, headquarters located in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Everybody find their seat okay?
Yes.
No.
No? You guys excited for tonight?
Yeah.
You get mom and dad?
You.
I didn't change much for hosting, just the sound and the visual. All right, as we're transferring or transitioning through the next piece of leadership, that deadline's tonight, right? Okay.
I made it.
Uh-oh. All right. So all I have is to lead your life in a way that brings nourishment and not death. Obedience and boundaries is what creates fruit to allow the next generation to go further. When he plants something like that seed from last week, his intention is for it to grow. So don't.
Yeah.
If he's telling you something, don't pass by. Hold on to it. Inheritance is a privilege. You'll only have access to it if you lead your life in a way that not only reaches the standard, but fulfills the Father's agenda.
Could have just preached tonight. Those are my only notes under inheritance. Wait, right. Say everything you just said again about inheritance.
Inheritance is a privilege. And you'll only have access to it if you lead your life in a way that not only reaches the standard, but fulfills the Father's agenda. And then a prompting question to be thinking about tonight is, how do you want to be remembered? As a warning or an example? You guys cool with that?
Yeah.
Cool.
Warning or example. Two choices.
Well, on that note, I am super grateful that last week that we were set within boundaries, because if the word for tonight that we're going to be carrying on is a warning or an example, I want to be within the boundaries, because I know that that's how my life can become an example. So I'm agreeing and coming under that word, Jalen. And going back to last week, one of the things that I think is super powerful preparing for tonight is that when we walked in here last week and the boundary lines were present, what followed those boundary lines in releasing was when you guys released that we're at this is especially true for tonight still, it being the 16th, that where we are is a starting point and not the finish line. So one of the things that hit me all last week following service was he set me in the boundary lines. He set us as the family within those boundary lines because it was a new starting point, not a finish line.
Yeah.
It feels like what has happened. So what has happened, I'm not going to say it feels, what's happened in the family is that we have been set again within boundaries when our thought or our expectation might have been the closer I get to the promised land, the more free or the more freedom I'm going to have, meaning less boundaries. Because you think that when you've walked through the wilderness, all of this wandering, all of this testing, that the outcome of the wandering and testing will be, now I'm free.
Yeah.
Now I've arrived and I get to do whatever I choose, just like the things that he's had to redefine in Christianity or religion, as far as Yeshua being a finish line and not the starting point. It's like another picture of that, but with the promised land, that we have to flip our mindsets. So that's what we're coming into tonight, with a perspective that we are at a starting point, not a finish line, which means that the boundaries that he gives us are going to be, it's going to require even more discipline. It's going to require even more readiness. It's going to require even more obedience And we're going to want to stay closer, just like last week how we were positioned, because of where we're going. So another thing that was established in us as a family last week was that we were put on the right battlefield. The right battlefield goes hand in hand with the boundaries, because when you're wandering outside of those boundaries, you're literally on the wrong battlefield, right? Like if he places me within a certain parameter and I'm out on the outskirts of it wandering around, I'm literally not on the right battlefield. And the battlefield that we've been on has been, I need to have this type of authority over things that I literally have no authority over because I'm not within the boundaries. If I'm not operating within his instructions or his guidelines, and I can't even obey those things, but I'm over there declaring and decreeing and trying to like utilize this spiritual authority, and he's like, no, I literally just told you to stay in these in these blue lines, and I will ensure that you are not cursed.
Done
deal. So last week, what got established in us that we're carrying today is that we're within the boundaries. We recognize them. We acknowledge it as a starting point, not a finish line. And we've been placed on the right battlefield, which then when we were called to cross a line, we had the opportunity then all week long, and we are in a completely different place now. We had a week long to get everything back in order and assure, okay, now I recognize how to advance and that I've been on the wrong battlefield, however that's looked in my life. So that's where we're at as a family, heading into whatever we're about to receive this evening.
So with this being the date that I specified during Hanukkah, it was a quote-unquote 30 days of mourning that we stepped into. It wasn't exactly 30 days, but just more of a representative time frame. And the more time has gone by, the more we've recognized, as we usually do, that he's just giving us words to better articulate what we've already been walking out. And so even just as I was sitting here, as Jalen was talking, really that 30 days of mourning has probably been the whole season of expansion. And that's just to emphasize that as we enter into Shabbat tonight, what we feel in our spirit is that season has come to a close. And it's a tangible end to a season. And that's important because you have to, when you go as transitionaries, we have to understand when we enter into something and when we exit out of it, and we have to recognize those clear boundaries in order to be successful. If you don't have clear boundaries or distinctions or thresholds, then you don't really know how you're walking something out. You don't have those clear boundaries to delineate when you're starting something, when you're ending something. And so I'm just really appreciative that Yahweh walks us in a way to give us clear boundaries, to articulate things that he's had us walking out, but then to put a hard close and a hard opening onto a new season that we can identify. So just something to think about.
Yeah. Well, definitely hold that into your pocket, because I feel like at the end, we're going to go through this Torah portion, but I am feeling really strong at the end of this Torah portion. What I want to do, I think Dad will release a word and he hears it by the Spirit, and then it kind of takes me a bit. And then I'll come in and practically say, this is exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
By the end of tonight, after we get through the word, I want to do that. Like, I almost feel like I'm going to be as practical as I'm going to even use examples. I think I even want to reestablish what we saw last week with the divide and express what it is that he's saying about leadership shift. So to make sure that we are all on the same page when it comes time to language and understanding and break down really what's been going on. Mm-hmm. So because he said it, and I'm going to do it more at the end, but that word was given at Hanukkah, mm-hmm. which was during the anointing of establishing.
Yes. Yeah.
That word is not new, and I'm going to yeah. prove it to us.
Yeah.
It's what, if you joined Kingdom Heirs, you've been in a leadership shift.
Yeah. Yep.
All that's happening is it's done tonight.
Yeah, that's good.
That's all this is. The yeah. mourning process for 30 days, we got 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But tonight is like a hard, and it's done.
Yeah.
If yes. that makes sense. But it doesn't mean that it's just been 2 weeks of understanding this. We're gonna go through it. But I wanna do that at the end. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay. We are tag teaming again. I'm gonna take on inheritance. Really don't need to. That's literally what I had. And then daughters. And then he's gonna go over some things with Joshua. And then I feel that by the Spirit, there's something significant that Joshua is coming back around the week after the dramatization of the division last week.
Yeah.
Like there's something about Joshua coming back up and shift in leadership that is going to click and establish in us yeah. what it is that he's exposed. And so we're going to go back through when we were introduced to Joshua. There are some things that were introduced to us that I think that we need to go back to, grab a hold of about Joshua, and you will be able to walk out the leadership shift in a better way because you're going to be equipped and commissioned through Joshua from the things he's already told us.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to go through that tonight. A little bit more. Okay? I think that that's interesting.
Yeah.
That the actual leadership shift
yeah.
in commissioning, meaning boots on the ground with Joshua. But what's significant is I'll just say this so you guys can also keep this in your back pocket. What did we learn about Joshua? He was what? He was beyond a disciple. He was an assistant. And so because of that assistance, that is what is going to help move us through the transition that we've been talking about for the last 15,
yes.
20 years.
Yep.
Okay? All right.
That's
done. All right, here's the title. The Journey to Receiving Your Inheritance.
All right.
Now, I want to, first of all, let me say this. After last week, and maybe it's because of the deadline of shifting in the leadership, there's something in me that I feel permission to release from a different place.
Okay.
I've been releasing from a different place, but I feel like I'm going to release from a different place. So I want tonight to click.
Okay.
So I'm going to be very practical and extremely real so that we are all ready to close the season of old leadership.
Okay.
All right? So I want to do two course corrections tonight.
Okay.
I want to redefine some things. This is going to go back to the title, The Journey to Receiving Your Inheritance, okay? So the first thing I want to do is I want to work on this word process.
Yes.
Dad said something pretty crazy last night. We're all in a process, and then he blows up and goes, okay, processes need to be, how did you say it?
I think I said
I don't want to hear about your processes.
Yeah.
Okay. For some of us, I'm like, amen. That makes sense. Some of us might be like, hold on a second, because that's all we've done for the last 25
yes.
years is talk about our processes. So what does this mean and what does this look like? So I want to talk about that. And then the other thing I want to do is I want to talk about connection. So there's something about, well, then what does this mean to connect and how do I connect? So we're going to restructure the word connection, and I want to restructure the word process, because I think there are things, Paul talks about it, there are things that are beneficial to you that I can't think of the exact way that he said it, but they're not working for you anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the word process is bad, it doesn't mean that the word connection is bad, but if we're using it in a certain context from an old season,
yeah.
we're not going to understand what it is that he's after. So I want to kind of just restructure and redefine some things. So here's kind of a tagline to the title. It is not a process, it's a lifelong commitment to
yeah.
covenant.
Yeah.
So that's the tagline to the journey to receiving your inheritance.
Okay.
So let me say this boldly. Your process is not going to get you an inheritance.
Yeah.
The process that you're in does not give you the promise.
Yeah.
Process is just part of walking out a lifelong commitment to covenant.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. So I want to kind of break down this word process. I want us to start thinking that I want us to move from process to journey. Because I feel like that language matches a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because it requires movement, and it requires that you're on a journey. It requires you're following. It requires that you're on a path.
Yeah.
It requires that you have a destination.
Yeah.
Of course, that's a process, but you're on a journey. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. When I think of going through a process, you should be in millions of processes, overlapping and in layers all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what I've been hearing is that a process, this is what I want to say, a process should not be synonymous with a pause.
Say that again.
A process should not be synonymous with a pause. We can all amen that, but I think then we use, well, but I'm in a process.
Yep.
The word that came over us is now we get to expect outcomes.
Yes, yes.
So we are not allowed anymore to be like, well, I'm not able to obtain that because I'm in a process.
Right.
No, I am going to obtain that because I'm in a process or I'm walking through a journey.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
We don't want to use the word process synonymous with a pause, nor should it create an excuse to stop all other processes.
Yes.
We are still walking out compartmentalization. And so once we get into a process, we think that's the only thing we're supposed to be focusing on. Some of us are so compartmentalized, we think that we cannot advance until we finish this process.
Yes.
So we're not able to work on another process.
Yes.
We would die if I was your leader and I did that. Because I'm still working on, I'm on a journey of full freedom from absolute joy minute to minute.
Yes.
So what if I operated that way and said, well, until I have joy for every minute of my life, I'm not going to carry anything else, not on behalf of me or you.
Yeah.
We just stop because I'm in a process.
Yeah.
We would die.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that you're supposed to fulfill a process. I have been in a process that I'm still working on for 44 years.
Yeah.
There are some things, there are some generational curses that are hundreds of years old. I'm still in a process. Not going to stop me from my perseverance, my endurance, or all of the other million processes that he has me on.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So a process is not synonymous with a pause, nor should it create an excuse to stop all other processes.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yep.
Okay, so it's your process now needs to kind of move into it being your journey.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
So when I think of a journey, the way that I think we've been using the word process is we're on a journey and then we stop and settle under a tree, get in the shade, get with Yahweh and get with a couple other people and we talk and hang out with our process. And then decide I'm not going to come back onto the path until I'm done with my process.
Yes.
What I'm saying is you're going to work on your process while you're walking.
Yeah.
You don't get to stop and rest.
Yes.
You get to keep going. You have to keep going. You got to carry your process.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to you. If you don't want to get through your process, your backpack's going to get really, really big by the end of the journey. But you're still on a journey. You got to keep going.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's good.
All right.
Really good.
We want to expect outcomes. Now, I said this last week, I think, because I want to make sure that I'm being very, very clear. Sometimes I want us to be wisdom people. So when I say something, don't put me in a box, because I will die. But here's what I mean. We are about the process, not the destination. We hold on to that and then put that in a box and be like, we're all about the process, and now we have no destination.
Yeah.
When I said we are about the process, not the destination, was not to say that we don't have a destination and all we get to care about is our process.
Yep.
The issue is that we're not out, we weren't trying to get to the finish line because he wanted us to be active participants. Instead of waiting for the finish line to approach us, he wanted us to walk towards the finish line. So that's why we really honed in on process. But now I feel like we've used that word process to be like, well, I don't even know if there's a finish line. I'm just in a process.
Yep.
Okay? Make sense?
Yes.
So that's what I mean by that. We are about the process, not the destination. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a destination.
Yeah.
Okay? Especially now in this leadership shift.
Yeah.
We should be outcomes-based, which means now we can, and this is crazy, you guys. This is all by the Spirit.
until we were able to work on our processes, he didn't trust us to release the destination.
Yeah.
How many of us thought the destination was flying off?
Yeah.
We're starting to learn that there's another destination.
Yeah.
But that hasn't even been fully released yet. But he's saying, please be ready so I can give you your destination.
Yeah.
This is why we want to keep moving forward. Make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I think I said last week, a man who enjoys the journey will get further than the one seeking the destination. Now, that doesn't mean that we dismiss the destination. It means enjoy the journey. Okay? If you enjoy the journey, you're actually going to get farther or beyond the destination than if you're just focusing on a destination. But don't let that you enjoy the journey or enjoy the process, you stopping along the path and you never reach the destination because you give yourself an excuse that you can't get there.
Yeah.
Because that's not true. Okay?
Okay.
All right. We good about processes?
Yes.
Makes sense when Dad says last week, I'm done hearing that word.
Mm-hmm.
What he's saying is, I'm done hearing that the process is your excuse to not expect an outcome.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you're not in a process. He's saying, I want you on a journey. I want you to keep moving in the midst of your process.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Connection.
Good clarification.
Is it a good clarification? Is this giving clarification?
Yeah. Yep.
Because I want this to be applicable. Because it's one thing to hear it on a Friday night and then Monday come and then we're back in our processes. So we're going to tackle connection. I feel like maybe 10 of you had questions about connection, especially in the midst of these questions with leadership shift. Especially if the question, you know, leadership shift is happening, and then the question is do you feel abandonment and maturity?
Yeah.
Do you guys even understand why that question is even asked?
Yeah.
You do? If it's a no, tell me no, because I would love to explain. Anybody? Kind of?
Explain it.
Kind of? Okay. So as you stay within the boundaries, and as you're trusted, those boundary lines get bigger and bigger and bigger. To the point where the boundary, when you're raising children, the boundary line ends up creating another household.
Yeah.
It could feel like abandonment because he doesn't actually have a mom in his house. But it's just maturity.
Yeah.
My role didn't stop, his role didn't stop, but it changed the way that it functions. And as you mature, it can feel like abandonment because you are owning then your own home and becoming a mother and father.
Yeah.
You still have one, but the function is totally different. You're no longer three and having your food served to you. Now you have to make your own food.
Yeah.
So it can feel like abandonment. Well, my mom didn't make me food. Well, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Why would any husband be like, my mommy didn't make me food?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The natural progression when we mature is I make my own plate.
Yes.
But in the church, we don't do that.
Yeah.
We can be 40 years old in religion and be like, the pastor didn't do X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Yep.
No, you need to do X, Y, and Z. Right? That's the natural progression. That's why we're a family, not just pastoral church.
Yep.
Okay? All right. Why did I go down that road? Oh,
because you're explaining the question.
Yeah. Oh, because abandonment is a question because we're maturing, and so it'll feel like, well, I feel like there's separation between us and the leadership.
Yeah.
Well, there's actually less separation because what we're going to learn, but you actually own it together.
Yeah.
So it's actually less separation, but there can be a feeling of there being a separation because leadership isn't treating you like you're three.
Yeah.
So it can feel like
you're
maturing, so it can feel like abandonment. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because then the question is, well, then what does connection look like? If all I've known is to be 3 years old and that's how I connect, then what does it look like to connect when I'm 10? What does it look like to connect when I'm 15? What does it look like to connect when I'm in full ownership, owning my own home? What does it look like to connect?
Yeah.
So I want to tackle the word connection.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk about connection. I want to talk about what it is and what it is not. First of all, connection, by the word connection, should bear fruit of relationship, right? So just put those two words kind of together, connection, relationship. Because I think what we do is we define what we think connection is, which came with the three C's, with clinging, and then we've kind of like created this concept of what connection looks like in the midst of trying to cling and forgetting there's relationship.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, this is going to get tricky. This is just the baseline, because when we get to the end, I want to talk about the different types of relationship. For right now, I'm going to talk about it in the context of actual relationship, maybe more in the line of marriage. The reason why I'm going to say this is because when we get into leadership shift, I do want to talk about the relationship between disciple and leader, follower and rabbi. That is going to be even another layer beyond of what I'm saying. Okay?
Okay.
It's really good. Mom.
All right. So connection should lead to relationship. Now, it might be interesting to be like, well, what is relationship? But just think, just get out of the weeds of the work of clinging and the work of connection and just think relationship and then see if that's what you have. If you don't have that, then you haven't been connecting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay? Are we all right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
I want us to change the wording from connection to covenant. So going back to my title, the journey, not the process, to receiving your inheritance, which the tagline is, it's not a process, it's a lifelong commitment to covenant. It's not a process and lifelong connection that bears no fruit. I guess would be maybe one way to say it.
Yeah.
Okay, let me say this boldly. Process doesn't give you your promise. A process doesn't give you your promise.
Right.
Okay? Connection doesn't give you your promise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, that's good. Yep.
Connection does not guarantee that you have inheritance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when we define connection in and of ourselves. I'm just thinking about our relationship with Yahweh. Well, I connected with him. Does that mean that you are going to receive your destination?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. Especially in depending on how you've connected with him.
Yeah.
So I just want to lay that out there. Connection process is not going to lead you to your inheritance, and connection is not what leads you to your inheritance.
Yeah.
Covenant is what leads you to your inheritance.
Yeah.
Staying the course, staying on the journey, staying the path, will lead you to your inheritance.
Yeah.
Covenant is the only thing that gets you to your inheritance. So I want us to shift from connection to covenant so we don't fall short in, well, I've connected.
Yeah. That's really good.
Okay, I talked to him once today.
Yeah.
That's good.
That does not necessarily mean that you are going to receive your inheritance. It is covenant, faithful, loyal covenant.
Yeah.
Lifelong commitment to covenant is what establishes inheritance.
Okay.
Okay? Okay. Are we all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Count and go a little bit more practical.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what connection is, or what it should be. What is it not? I want us to really, this is not, I'm being super literal, and I know that it's going to touch on a lot of you, because I think at least 10 of you asked about connection and have operated this way. So I do not mean to blatantly out you. But I'm releasing from a new place. and this is the reason why I'm releasing from a new place. When I took you. Like Ellen. When we get to the end of the night and we talk about what this means for our family, what I'm addressing is the gap that was over there.
Yes.
Okay? I want to address that gap. This is how we're going to address it, so it just has to be addressed. Okay? This is what connection is not.
Okay.
Let me update you about me. That is not connection. If you are updating someone about yourself, that is not connection. It is literally an update about yourself.
Okay.
That is not connection, and it is certainly not relationship, and it is certainly not covenant. Make sense?
Yes.
If I just operated, hey, here's what I've got going on with myself. Oh, and by the way, I know I ignored you for 2 weeks, but this is what I have going on, and so I'm just going to update you about me and then leave.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that that's even relational. It's literally just an update.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I don't know that I'm going to receive inheritance from that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give a lot of updates.
Yeah.
And he's going to know a lot about me. Okay?
Yeah.
It's detached. It's me-focused. The reason why I'm talking about this is because we talk about how we want to be others-focused,
yep.
But then in our everyday lives, we're not walking out others-focused by the sheer tool of Voxer, where it's this constant, here's about me.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that we should be others-focused and then keep walking opposite of what we say we are.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what's happening tonight, is that those things are coming to a close and are going to help us move into shifting as we need to move forward.
Okay.
You guys okay?
Yes. Yeah.
If you think about it, updating about myself is kind of like dating. Hmm. It's come and go as I please. Hmm. The complete opposite of that. Right?
Hmm.
Pick and choose.
Yeah.
Come and go. Engage when I want. Very convenient.
Yeah.
See how connection is good, but we can also use connection as a way to become detached and to actually push away covenant with the language of what's right.
Yeah.
Same with, we have the language of a process and actually push away our inheritance and have the right language.
Yeah.
That's what we don't want to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say a couple things, connected versus connecting. There's a difference, right? I'm connected or I am connecting. Connecting isn't bad, but that's the action of connection. But the foundation is, are we connected or am I just connecting? If the only thing I focus on is just connecting, then I never was actually connected.
Yeah.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's a difference between feeling connected and connecting. Sometimes connecting can be checklist versus we just are connected.
Yes. Yep.
This should be about life, pursuit to know and understand. This goes back to the pillar Yada.
Yep.
Here's the warning, though. With the word Yada, it was to really know. But I think that we can tend to walk that out. Well, then my expectation is he needs to know all about me.
Yep.
We know that's already there.
Yes.
So the word Yada in that pillar was to pursue and to know him.
Yes.
Yes.
Now we know that in knowledge. But then when we get to it, I feel like I want to just get there. But when we get to it, especially with disciple and rabbi, we have the complete flip, which means we do that to Yahweh.
Yeah.
We basically say here in our prayer life, here I am, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know anything about you, your kingdom, where you've been, but I need you to come and meet me and learn more about me and tell me about where I am.
Yeah.
Okay. So we know it, but then when we walk it out, we don't necessarily do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So the other thing that can happen with connection is, are we together already, or is this a fill me in?
Yeah.
Which means by nature, if I fill him in, that means I've been alone.
Yeah.
Which means by definition, I have been disconnected.
Yep.
But then I'm trying to connect by connecting, but all I did was fill him in on my loneliness.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we weren't together to be sent into something. I already sent myself into something, and then I'm just updating him on what I sent myself into, and then I'm recreating this establishment of being alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Practical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Connection.
Yes.
To the verbiage of I want covenant.
Yeah.
Now those are not necessarily the tools of, okay, well then how do you obtain covenant? Just start by looking at these things and how you're looking at relationship, I think would be a good starting point. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want to do some course correction, because I think that that's going to help us as we move forward in the transfer of leadership and what this means for our family.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
We good?
Yep.
Okay. And this is going to set the stage for what we're going to talk about later, because it's really it's really important for us to understand everything I just said. Because it is what I just got done releasing, that the difference in what's happening is Joshua was an assistant.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have to understand the difference between disciple and assistant, and everything I just said is showing not even disciple.
Yeah.
It's still showing hospital.
Yeah.
It's still showing me. It's still showing.
This is
what we're talking. This leadership shift has been 15 years, but we've got to finalize that is not who we are.
Yep.
We are the ones that proclaimed, "I don't want a Band-Aid." We're the ones that said we want to get to the root.
Yep.
Then we got to stop Band-Aiding connection.
Yeah.
Right. Then we got to walk out with the things that we've said. So it's going to get a little bit more intense. So I just want to make sure that that's all understood. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Torah portion. Inheritance. I really genuinely don't have anything. Jalen, like, did you look at my notes? Can you read again what you said?
Inheritance is a privilege.
Inheritance is a privilege.
You only have access to it if you use your life in a way that not only reaches the standard.
So you have to reach a standard in order to receive it.
But fulfill the Father's agenda as well.
And the standard is to fulfill the Father's agenda.
Amen.
All right. I'm not going line by line. I have three things. Inheritance, daughters, Joshua. So we're going to go through inheritance. Super simple. He kind of did it. First thing I want to say, inheritance is tangible. It is not a lofty feeling. It is not some far off place singing with angels. Inheritance is absolutely tangible. Okay?
Okay?
And that is part of releasing the destination. This is what we have to understand this because I didn't plan talking about this. Inheritance is obviously something that happens in the future. If you do not know what your inheritance is, then you won't even care to abide by the standard.
Yeah.
You don't even know the Father's agenda if you don't know the inheritance.
Yeah.
All I want to say is that inheritance is not some far off place or some distant promise or definitely not a death covenant. You got to die to obtain it. That is not the inheritance. The inheritance is absolutely tangible, and the inheritance is now, then, and in the future. Okay?
Okay.
Other thing about inheritance. This is super simple, but it's powerful. If you receive an inheritance, whose was it? What'd you say? It was someone else's. That means if you receive an inheritance, it is not yours until you receive it.
Yeah.
It also means someone else owns it.
Yeah.
So for an inheritance to be given, it means that the Father, Yahweh, owns that inheritance to give to you. We're going to see this with Moshe and Joshua, but you are under authority. You are under the Father's agenda to receive his inheritance that we will say is ours, but it's yours because it's his and you fulfill his agenda, you receive his inheritance.
Yeah.
So there's ownership with this inheritance. It's not some... I just want this to be tangible.
Yeah.
You have a tangible promise that is yours for the taking, that is the Father's to give. Okay? So I'm going to say a couple things with inheritance. Unconditional access does not mean unconditional disbursement. Unconditional access does not mean unconditional disbursement. So I'm gonna get practical after I release a couple things. Here's a couple things that we already know is not unconditional disbursement. I'm being super simple. I'm not trying to be mysterious. Unconditional disbursement of inheritance, one condition. First condition. You have to be living. That already flies in the face of this whole death covenant that you receive your inheritance when you die.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be mysterious. It's so simple.
Yeah.
To receive an inheritance, you have to be living.
Yeah.
And you will be living when that inheritance comes. You can mark my words. You will be living because you cannot receive inheritance if you're not living. So far off are the days of becoming a cherub and flying with a harp. You will be living when you receive your inheritance. In what body? I don't know, but you're going to be alive. Okay, but to receive an inheritance, for them to receive our inheritance, they have to be alive. Yeah. We have it written in our trust. If they're not, then their kids need to be alive.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to be alive. I got nothing to give it to if you're not alive. Jen, Steve, you need to be alive.
Amen.
To receive the promise.
Amen.
That's why he wants us to learn to live.
Yeah.
Not die.
That's good.
Okay? So, number two, second stimulation. This is so good.
So
you guys
good.
Showed up on the right night.
Amen.
Second stipulation to receive your promise. You have to be part of a family. Right?
Right.
You can't be a lone ranger with no legacy and think you're going to get an inheritance. You have to have a bloodline. You have to be part of a family or you don't receive an inheritance. This is not mysterious. Just the two conditions. Covenant. And be alive. This whole journey, guys, is to teach us to be alive and to be part of a family so we can have our destination.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay? So, and then a little bit of another stipulation, because blood is, you know, just one thing. You have to be part of a family. You have to uphold the family standard.
Amen.
Yeah.
I have it written very specifically in my trust, and we have people that will oversee it when we're gone,
yep.
That if you are not abiding by our DNA, you do not receive it.
Yeah.
So you can be alive and say you're a part, but if you're living you're living off on your own, you don't get it.
Amen.
Okay?
So good.
That's all I got.
Wow. Yeah.
Inheritance. We already learned last week inheritance is proportional.
Yeah.
So again, going back to Gabe, what you're saying, unconditional access. Let me explain it this way. We have an inheritance, a literal inheritance. They have unlimited access. Does that make sense what I mean by that? They have unlimited, there's no, it's just theirs.
Yeah.
But it does not mean that it's just unconditionally going to be dispersed.
Right.
Because they have to continue the path. Fulfill the Father's agenda to be able to receive that inheritance,
Amen.
Especially when He's not here.
Yes.
Amen. That's good.
That's the point.
Yes.
There's a purpose is not for you to just blow that money or whatever the inheritance is, land, whatever it is. It is to fulfill a purpose, and it needs to be the purpose that He set in place.
Yes.
It was His inheritance.
Yeah. Right.
So he set in motion what that inheritance is, and the inheritance that we receive will be set in motion with standards that we have to uphold to be able to further that inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
It's not just a cool gift.
Yeah.
Or a
yeah.
It's just what we do.
Yeah.
It is a responsibility.
Yeah.
When I receive my inheritance, it will be a responsibility to fulfill the legacy of my grandfathers. And what they saw then, not for me to be entitled and say, oh, look now, what can I do? But it is what was the heart for this inheritance so that I can steward it. Again, this is so good. Yeah. The destination, your inheritance, will just be the beginning.
Yeah.
When I receive my inheritance, I hope it's just the beginning because it's a lot. That's going to be sucky if I get an inheritance and I'm not here.
Yeah.
Right? So when the inheritance comes, it's not even like, we've arrived.
Yeah.
We're so small, you guys. We're barely making it to the promised land, and we're already thinking, we've arrived, or we're fit. No.
Yeah.
No. Right. Even when we get to our inheritance, when the fullness of the inheritance comes, it'll also then be just the beginning. Because then He's going to want us to steward the inheritance.
Yeah.
He's wanting us to steward the inheritance now, because we have inheritance, but there's more inheritance coming. It would almost be like looking at it as an overseer giving disbursements.
Yeah.
Right? And it is... Are you part of the family? Well, are you living?
Yeah. Right.
Are you part of the family? Are you upholding the standard? Okay, here's another disbursement.
Yeah.
Carry it out. Live out that inheritance. Grow it. Here's another disbursement.
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
Okay. Daughters. Stinking daughters. Zoe, you nailed it. As soon as you said that, I was like, stop it. I don't have a lot here either. All I'm going to say is that Yahweh is absolutely consistent in validating women throughout all of Scripture.
Yep.
All of Scripture. When all the pagan nations and all the other nations have a certain way of doing things, there was a couple things that were super, super awesome within that Scripture. Number one, the bold faith to ask. Yeah. They had the whereabouts to have faith to ask about their position.
Yeah.
I think that's super powerful. And then the other thing is that Moshe, Yahweh said, what they said has been good. What they say is good.
Yeah.
Let us be a people that what we say is His will.
Yeah.
We're not asking for things because we're selfish.
Yep.
We're asking for things because we know His character. We know who He is.
Yeah.
We have bold faith to ask because we know how to live out the instructions.
Amen.
It was very practical. He had given instructions about the land. All they were doing was saying, hold on a second. How is this going to work? It wasn't this like, excuse me.
Yeah.
It was... How they were under the instructions of getting the land and then adding to how does this look? And it actually progresses because in Deuteronomy, they have to address what happens when they get married. This is a super powerful thing because daughters are super special because they not only they receive the inheritance if there's no sons, but then they have to deal with the fact that if they get married, sons get an inheritance.
Yeah.
So there it wasn't like they were left out. The plan was is that they would get married and then they would go into a family and have that land. So anyway, so there's a couple different things with that. But that's all I have for daughters. Inheritance, daughters. We're good?
Yep.
Okay. Joshua.
That was really good. Extremely practical. I feel like Yahweh is just giving us the practicality, but it's the practical language to make something extremely profound, really simple for us to walk out. To kind of further elaborate as we get into to Joshua and the succession of leadership from Moshe to Joshua, we have to kind of understand as a big picture, when we talk about a leadership paradigm shift, we're not talking about from one person to another. We're talking about the style of leadership that Moshe and Aaron represented, shifting from that representation to Eliezer and Joshua.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about two different dynamic paradigms of leadership. But with that comes a different season, right? There's this divine window of time where they're wandering in the wilderness, 40 years. They entered the wilderness and they exited the wilderness, right? There's this divine window of 40 years that needed a certain type of leadership. So when we talk about a leadership shift, that's also indicating that we're stepping into a different season, right? It's just a different way to say what we've been saying. So you have leadership paradigm shifting, you have a seasonal shift, right? Stepping into a completely different divine window of time into the promised land. And then you also have a shift that's demanded in how you follow.
Yeah.
Right? So there's the leadership paradigm change, there's how you follow is changing, and the season is changing. Right? All of these things are changing, and if all of us are going to go through, we're going to fall into some of those categories at any point in time through our life. You're either leading, you're following, you're entering into different seasons, right? No matter where you're at in life, you're going to walk through these changes. And I think you could study this for your entire life to gain a kingdom understanding on what it looks like to follow, what it looks like to succeed, what it looks like as a leader to pave the way for somebody else successfully. There's just so much about this that we could dive into. I wish we could study it for months. But when we look at, before we talk about Joshua, when we look at Moshe coming to the close of his leadership season, it's amazing to understand that as a leader, he knew that the type of leadership he represented was coming to a close. It was coming to the boundary line. It was coming to the end of the 40 years. And he knew that because we see in the Torah portion, he began to shift his intercession from mediating for people on their behalf to praying about who was going to succeed him as a leader.
Yeah.
Right? And so as a leader, he was more concerned about the consistent direction and the consistent forward movement of the people than he was his own role.
Yeah.
Or preserving his own status as a leader.
Yeah.
Right? It would be, we would probably all be susceptible. Just imagine if I assigned each and every one of you guys for the next 40 years, you're going to be tasked with leading a nation of people, and your only job is to get them through the wilderness right up to the reward, but you have to stop at that point, just make sure they get it.
Yeah.
We're all probably going to be susceptible when it comes time to the boundary, and you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see the fruit of the promised land, and you might be tempted to preserve your status as a leader so that you can partake in that way.
Yeah.
Right? But as a leader, Moshe didn't do that. He knew, this is my purpose. I've fulfilled my assignment, and now I'm praying for the direction of the next generation. These are all characteristics that we, when we talk about what we're transitioning into, you have to study the characteristics that are all over this Torah portion to be able to understand. When she's talking about others focused and not self-focused, this is what Moshe is talking about. As parents or adults, either with children or standing for the next generation, we should have that mindset that we are more concerned about the direction and the consistent forward movement towards what Yahweh is, whatever his will is, than our own status, right? And that's a big thing that we're going to step into coming out of, I'm just, in my immaturity, I'm focused on what I have going on, what affects me, what do I gain out of this, right? What he's calling us into is to completely step out of that to where we have the ability, like Moshe, to carry something forward when we don't get to participate in that ourselves. Right? So we have this amazing foundation, because with succession, you have the baton has to be passed. Right? You have to have the active participants in obedience passing that baton. So his supreme concern was the consistent direction, not preserving his role or status. Okay? Now, when you talk about Joshua, we've read Torah portions where it points out that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. That's why they were the only ones to speak up in front of the entire nation when they got the report back from the Promised Land. The only reason they were different is because they had a different spirit.
Right.
Right? And I want to talk about what are some of the markers of what a different spirit is, because that is what we're being called to step into. So this, you could examine Joshua for mm-hmm. years and years, right? But these are just superficial, surface level observations from the Torah portion that we can practically look at as how we are supposed to begin to walk as somebody who has a different spirit. Some of the things that Scripture talks about Joshua over the course of, as long as we see him mentioned in Scripture leading up to this point. Well, let me say this. Joshua has been, he's been around. He's been involved. He's been intimately involved.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't like a, this was not a surprise to the people. Right? This was probably like, they were like, oh, yeah, this totally makes sense. This was a natural transition because he had been around setting an example by his character. But Scripture talks about him meditating day and night. Meditating day and night. It kind of goes, it's somewhat similar to what I was talking about last week, where your whole being is focused on whatever it is that is going to help you navigate properly through whatever it is that you're walking through. Right, whatever that is, you're honed in on it, you're focused on it. His whole being was day and night, all day, all night, he was meditating on things of the Lord. So that's just one thing. He walked in a way that he knew the outcome would vindicate him. And this is important to think about, because a lot of times if we receive a revelation or direction from Yahweh, we will be so concerned about our own vindication that we will not walk out the process for fear that we won't be vindicated.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a like at the base of a lot of what we deal with.
Yeah.
Fear of not being vindicated.
Yeah.
But Joshua walked in a way of so much faith that no matter the cost, no matter the destruction of my reputation, the public embarrassment, whatever whatever the case may be, no matter what, I'm going to walk out what Yahweh called me to walk out, because I know that at the end of the day, His glory will vindicate me.
Yeah.
Now this is before I talk about the next marker, which I believe is one of the biggest ones that spans across Scripture, I don't want to forget about Eleazar, right? Because there was Moshe and Aaron. There's Aaron, whose son is Eleazar. And then you have Moshe, whose adopted son by the spirit of adoption is Joshua. So you have two leaders, the old leadership paradigm, which is not bad. It's not bad. It's just being succeeded. It's being built upon. Okay? And then you have Joshua and Eleazar.
Yeah.
Now what's interesting is
shoot.
Eleazar represents, he's a priest. So he represents what I would call the legislative aspect of this new leadership. He's the one getting the revelation. He's the one discerning. He's the one giving the direction. Just like our legislative branch establishes laws, they lay the foundation, they interpret the law of the land and articulate it in a way that people can execute. Okay? Joshua is not the one receiving the revelation of the direction of where the nation should go. He's the one executing that direction.
Yes.
So you have this leadership composite of a legislative, revelatory, discernment head, and then you have Joshua, who then works with them and takes that and executes it. Okay? Now, and this is important, because when Joshua is publicly commissioned, he is brought before Eleazar. Right? Eleazar is ultimately the one with discernment and revelation as a priest, saying, yes, this person is authorized to be commissioned to execute whatever it is that Yahweh is telling us to do. Right? So we can't forget Eleazar, because we kind of breeze over his name in the Torah portions, and then we just move on to Joshua. Right? But there's this leadership framework, there's this composite that's operating, and it's legislative, it's revelation, and then it's execution. Okay? Now I say that to point out that Joshua is a messenger by definition. Okay? He's one who hears a word and then has to convey that word exactly as it was given to him. Okay? He has to take a word from the Father through Eleazar, right? It's been discerned, it's been revealed. Eleazar disperses a directive, gives it to Joshua. He then has to turn and lead the people in the exact way that that word was given to him. So he's mediating between the priest and Yahweh and the people, but he's mediating in a way of executing what the word was. Okay? So by Joshua's obedience and conveying an authentic, accurate word as it was conveyed to him, by his obedience, he is affirming the word. Okay? Now, he's a messenger, and what I'm talking about basically defines him also as a witness. He's a witness to something. In order to be a true witness, you have to accurately convey what you saw, what you heard. You have to accurately convey that. That's what a witness is, right? He's a true witness because in the way you define a true witness, if you're a true witness, is if you can take what revelation you got from Yahweh, right? And you can turn and be obedient to that word accurately and authentically, meaning that that word is accurately represented based on your actions.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep. Like,
we're supposed to be a witness, right? We're supposed to testify. Witnesses testify. You are a true witness if your obedience accurately conveys the revelation that he gave you.
Yeah.
Authentically and accurately. Not negotiating revelation.
That's good. Yep.
Not adding to, not interpreting, not taking away from. Accurately conveying his word and your obedience acting out that word affirms the original word. In other words, your obedience glorifies God.
Yeah.
Because you're a true witness. Mm-hmm. So it makes it practical for us that if we have a word and we negotiate that word, we add to, we take away from, we interpret it however we want to interpret it, then you're not a true witness. Mm-hmm. You're a false witness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
That, I mean, I feel like that just makes it... we can hear the terms like, oh, that's a, you know, false prophet, false witness, right? It's like she talked about last week, spiritual warfare can be this big, mystical, overwhelming thing, and it's really not. It's really not, right? Like, we can identify if someone is a true witness or a false witness, if they are accurately, authentically conveying the word that they received out of their actions and obedience. Okay? Now, when we, well, let me say this. I already said the outcome will vindicate you. Obedience affirms the word. Joshua, we can go back to Numbers 13 and see that his faithfulness had been established long term. Right? Just like we talk about, we've walked out a season and we're just putting words on it now. It's the same thing with Joshua. He had been in a place of assisting. He had been in a place of leadership and doing these things, authentically representing what it was that Yahweh showed him, and he was doing it long term. He basically had character, right? What Yahweh highlighted to Moshe was the character of Joshua by saying that he has the spirit in him. So he pointed him out because of his character internally. Okay. Now we get to, in verses 19 and 20, the actual transfer of authority. And this is interesting, because this, a lot of this points to the continuity of Scripture. And if you understand this transition, you will understand in a greater way who Yeshua is and how he relates to the Father. Okay?
And now how we should relate.
Right. Before I say this, there was something else I forgot to say, and that is, we talked about last week our identity as transitionaries, right? Like, if we're Hebrews, we're crossover people. Of all the things Yahweh could have used to name his chosen people, he said crossover, right? So to me, that's at the foundation of who we are, crossover people. Part of this transition is when we say the promised land is not the finish line, I want to convey it another way. We can be a crossover people because we literally cross over and obtain something or possess something. But that is still, in the big picture, that is still self-focused. I mean, we want it out of our obedience. We want to cross over, right? Because that's what he asks us to do. That's his will for our lives. But one of the things that Moshe understood, and I believe the reason why he didn't turn it into himself at the boundary line, which a lot of people would be tempted to, is because he understood as a crossover people that he himself became a threshold from one generation to the next one. Does that make sense? We can be obedient so that I can cross over, Or we can be a crossover people and understand our identity to the depth that I become a threshold for other people to cross over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what Moshe was, and he understood that. I have fulfilled my assignment. He understood it is finished. I have fulfilled my assignment, which means that I have taken the people from Egypt and delivered them. I have delivered them over a threshold of the wilderness into the promised land. He actually became the crossover.
Yeah.
Not just him crossing over.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so our identity becomes, as we grow in maturity, our identity, yes, are we supposed to cross over as individuals? Absolutely. Are we supposed to step over the line like we did last week? 1,000%. But it doesn't stop there because that's not the finish line, right? As they're established as a nation in their dwelling place, in the place that was promised to them, they actually become a crossover mechanism for other people to then cross over from death to life because they see the glory of God in this nation's obedience.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't just crossing over into the promised land. We have to remember what was the agenda for the wilderness in the first place was for them to step into the promised land so they could glorify his name.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they benefit. They're blessed. They're in the promised land flowing with milk and honey. But that's just fruit of the bigger picture, which is them becoming a mechanism for other people to see the glory of God.
Yeah.
Right? So they themselves, they crossed over, but they become a threshold for other people to cross over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What was I saying before that?
Which part?
Oh, the authority transfer. So this is interesting. When this authority transfer takes place, it's not just a one-dimensional transaction. It's the continuation of a generational transaction that's been taking place over various covenants. Okay? It's not a, when I say one-dimensional, it's not a replacement. Right? Does this make sense? It's not, Moshe's out.
Yeah.
We throw that in the trash.
Yeah.
Joshua's in. It's not a replacement. It's a continuation generationally, covenantally, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yeah.
Right? It's all building. It's all building. Covenants are building upon one another. And the reason why I say that is because in the scripture, Moshe lays his hands on Joshua publicly, and it says he was given some, Joshua was given some
right.
of his authority.
Yes.
Yes.
So in another scripture, it talks about Joshua acknowledging the majesty of Moshe. And I think in other words, when you look into that, what's taking place when you think about some authority being given, you would think that's weird. That doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't I be given all of the authority if I'm the one taking the reins and then walking forward into the promised land?
Yeah.
Right? Why wouldn't I be given all of it? But it says that Moshe basically reserved some authority, and it goes back to what she was saying, that it's not a this isn't a situation where Moshe was being replaced, and then we just move forward with no thought of previous seasons, previous windows of time, previous covenants. Okay, when it talks about the majesty of Moshe, it was basically a picture of Joshua acknowledging that Moshe was the chosen instrument. He was the threshold that got us to this place. Does that make sense? You can't throw away the threshold that you stepped over to enter in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Once you've entered into a place, you can't say that door, that threshold doesn't exist,
right.
Because that's what got you into the place. And so,
you mean,
I think,
so like the shadow of the things to come.
Right.
Just...
Yeah. So when it says that Moshe's majesty was acknowledged, I believe it's an honoring acknowledgement of what came before them and what got them to the place they were at. And that they're a continuation, and they're supposed to do the same thing and become a threshold that carries the next generation so they can enter it. Right? It's a continuous covenantal building, right? It's not, well, now I'm in, this person's out,
yeah.
and
yeah.
this there's it's like it's not disconnected like that. So when we look at when we go back to being a true witness, like Joshua was, he was in the role as a true witness. It's a role that we all have to carry. A true witness will honor limits, they will honor boundaries, and they will honor precedent. Basically meaning Moshe retained some of his authority. I think as Moshe dies, that he will always have an acknowledgement of authority and majesty in Joshua's eyes.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, that just makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? That's just honor. That just makes sense that Moshe made a way for us, even though somebody else can step into authority and have full authority of the executive aspect of how they're being governed, but there's still that honor of somebody who is no longer in that position and they're no longer with them. Right? But Joshua didn't, just because he was given authority by Moshe, didn't mean he was boundless with no limits. His authority had limits because he wasn't given all of the authority to begin with.
Yeah.
Right? True witness recognizes that you can't overreach. If we're supposed to be true witness of Yahweh, right? That was Joshua's role by definition. You could look at him from the outside and say, man, this guy's like a general. He has all the authority. He's doing all these big things, right? He's the guy. You could look at him and think he can just do whatever he wants. Right? But you as a true witness, taking the word that Yahweh gave you and walking it out in obedience accurately and authentically means that there are confines on your authority.
Yeah.
If you don't walk it out authentically accurately, you're stepping outside of the umbrella of that authority, which means you're crossing over a line you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You don't just get to walk however you want.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
That authority is confined to an assignment, to a role, which is a true witness. He's supposed to execute divine revelation. We are supposed to execute divine revelation. Okay? We're supposed to execute the authority delegated to us and never diverge from that word and ultimately fulfill our assignment. Okay? You're supposed to hear a word. You're supposed to execute that word for the purpose of fulfilling an assignment. So you get a word, you execute the word accurately, authentically, so that you can fulfill your assignment.
Yeah.
When Jalen said, we're supposed to reach the standard and fulfill his agenda, right? That's what it made me think of. We have a standard. We have to walk in his ways, but it's for fulfilling an assignment, okay? So kind of a little bit more on what it means to be a true witness, because this is practical to us on what we're shifting into and a greater understanding of what we're supposed to look like. You carry the word intact, the word that you get, right? And this is going to set a lot of the platform for what she's going to get into talking about discipleship. You execute, you don't reinterpret, right? This goes back to when we talked about the biggest lie, how traditionally Judaism is a theonomy, which means they receive the word and they obey, right?
Yeah.
In Western Christianity or Western evangelical church, we receive the word and we interpret it 5 million ways, which is theology. Right? Judaism isn't a theology-based religion. It's theonomy, which means we receive the word and we obey. Yes, Dad. Right? That's how we raise our children. The standard is you receive an instruction and you obey. Can you imagine if you gave your young child an instruction and they operated in theology and decided if their interpretation lines up with yours and if they're actually going to walk that out? Negative. Nobody here, I would hope, is going for that. A parent's going for that, right? This isn't up to you to interpret. You just say, yes, mom, yes, dad, right? That's what theonomy is. It allows the truth to produce maturity, right? You just obey, you act on the word, and it produces maturity. A false witness speaks from personal interpretation, modifies the word to manage, you know, their situation around them. Shields people from the truth's weight.
That's good. Say that again.
Shields people from the weight of the truth. Like if you receive a word and you modify how you're going to walk out that word, basically you're not walking it out accurately because you want to false protect somebody that's a false witness. Okay? Now, before I hand it back over to Mom to get further into what she was talking about, because I feel like that's just going to bring a level of breakthrough that we haven't witnessed before, I wasn't planning on talking about the continuity of Scripture, but as I was studying this, I feel like it's just going to drive screws into our understanding of how Torah is central to faith through Yeshua. Okay? When I talk about Joshua in Scripture, it talks about Yeshua being a type of Joshua, or Joshua being a type of Yeshua, right? We understand that. When you look at Joshua and his succession from leadership, all those things I described is exactly the same pattern that Yeshua follows when he's succeeding in leadership. Okay, when he was born on this earth and he was anointed as a mature son with whom Yahweh is well pleased, and he was sent into ministry, that was him succeeding Yahweh's leadership. Okay? He couldn't, Yeshua could not violate the word he received because he was a true witness. Revelation 3:14 says Yeshua is a true witness, which means he has to take the word of the Father. He cannot deviate from it, and he has to turn and convey that word accurately and authentically, and by his obedience affirm the word that he received as a true witness.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So when people, if we look back at Joshua and we think he was doing his own thing, no, he wasn't. He was fulfilling continuously the word that was given to Moshe. He's just fulfilling it in a different way.
Yeah.
His role is different. He's carrying it forth, but it's to honor the same word.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yep.
Revelations 1:5 says he's a faithful witness. 3:14 says he's the true witness. He's the standard of what it looks like to be a true witness. One thing that I think is awesome, because I think it's going to tie into what she's talking about, is that maturity, kind of like what Megan talked about in the beginning, we think maturity means independence. We think you gain a certain level of maturity, you gain independence, which literally speaking, there's aspects of that. Obviously, Jalen doesn't live in our house anymore. I don't stay up at night wondering if he's driving or whatever. I don't, right? He's independent of our household now, right? But this is what I would say that we need to understand. Joshua stepped into a mature place not because he was being released to be independent. It was because he had demonstrated a level of fidelity of covenant to Moshe.
Right.
Which was a reflection of Moshe's fidelity and covenant with Yahweh.
Right.
Moshe set an example of fidelity to Yahweh, and he had a disciple, an adopted son, Joshua, who then walked out that same level of fidelity and covenant to Moshe, which is why he was released to lead the nation.
Yeah.
But his maturity was fidelity to the original word.
Yes.
Yeshua, as a mature son, right? He's marked by fidelity to the original word, not being independent of the original word.
Yeah.
Okay? They're honoring ultimately the source of authority and where it came from. So just to kind of conclude this, as a true witness, you hear a word, you speak what is heard accurately and authentically, you execute based off those directives so that you can fulfill an assignment.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That is what Joshua did as a true witness. That is what Yeshua did as a true witness.
Yeah.
Right? Pointing back to demonstrating fidelity to the original word and the original source of authority.
Yeah.
I think that's all I want to say about Joshua. Obviously, we could spend so much time diving into this, but if I could just kind of bring some practical markers of what it looks like, that type of leadership transition and what caused him to be set in that role, that's what I would say.
Yeah. All right, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I feel like there's a lot I got to do.
Okay.
Could you hear, when he was describing Joshua, did you identify, we are Joshua's to Yeshua?
Yeah.
Could you identify that what he just did
was
basically give you...
Yeah.
The message of evangelism.
Yes.
In 10 minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
True evangelism.
Yes.
Which is the complete opposite of Christianity.
Yeah.
He just described the authority, the delegation, your fidelity to the word, how to be a true witness. I mean, he just talked to you about what it looks like to be on the other side of Yeshua until he comes back.
Yeah.
He just described your life. He kept saying Joshua, but he was describing your life. So that's what I want us to tie in, because that is the leadership shift.
Yeah.
When we keep talking about this leadership shift, that's the leadership shift that's been going on since he said, please break away from a false religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he said break away, he was basically saying, I need you to be a true Joshua, because we've had false prophets.
Yes.
So to raise a true prophet, I need you to shift from survival to, you know, like everything. And I'm going to get into the verbiage, but we've been on a journey of getting out of Exodus, coming out from under slavery, so we could understand what a true disciple is and a true sent one is until. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, so I feel like we got like a couple dimensions going on here, but we keep talking about leadership shift. First of all, I'm going to keep saying it because I just feel like sometimes we get put in a box. No, we are not commissioning John and Megan. We are not commissioning Jason and Amber anytime soon. We're not going anywhere. I thought we were. Freak. We had meetings at the 3.5 mark. I was supposed to be in Florida. Then Yahweh's like, nope, put your roots down. Get settled. You're going to settle. We're not going anywhere. Right? We're not, you know. But you know what I mean? We've had meetings, Texas, Florida. I don't know. But for whatever reason, here I am. Take it or leave it, but you're not getting someone else. Okay. I mean, I'm not, you guys understand what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, well, and I'm not getting someone else either. So I just want to, the leadership shift is the type of way that we lead or disciple, which has been happening since we stepped on the scene.
Yeah.
I know most of us, I feel like at any given point you can identify yourself in the word, right? For the longest time, I'm like, man, I feel like a Moshe getting us out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, we've been Joshua since 2015.
Yeah.
So this is okay, right? So I just, because he said something crazy last week. He said this is the culmination of everything that he was trying to do all those years ago.
Yes.
So what? Where did we lose Eliezer? Where did we lose Joshua? Yes. Where did we lose the people? What happened when Joshua began to function and everybody said, oh, no, I still want a Pharaoh? Right? Like you just see the whole storyline play out. And we've been on this journey to get us to a place to where we would be together in being a true witness with fidelity to the original word to actually reach the nations so that he can come back. Okay? That's what's happening. That's all this is. So this leadership shift is not this little next week something's going to be different. It's not, there's not, it's not even, I wish it was a big old shift. But it's not. It's just the morning of what we had has come to a close tonight.
Yes.
Amen. Because he needs us to stop operating as a false prophet. Okay? So that's all this is he's just teaching us how to be proper disciples. And beyond, because we see that Joshua was not a disciple. He was an assistant. So he's teaching us to move even beyond. If you think about it, the apostles had 2.5 years. 3 years. 3 years training. They were disciples for 3 years. After that, they weren't disciples anymore. They were apostles and they were sent. Even if I say we are all about discipleship, I'm going to cap you if we don't shift. Because there's only so much time you need to be discipled. At some point, go. And disciple all nations. Well, you can't disciple if you haven't learned to be an assistant. This is what's going to happen. As we shift, we're going to start to see more assisting. And then you're going to actually be able to disciple others. Because the focus won't be on you to be discipled. You're going to own the word for yourself, and you're going to move forward. You're going to be able to disciple others. That's how we grow. And we're going to be able to disciple nations because you're going to shift into being an assistant. See how that works? You cannot grow and reach nations if you don't become an assistant. You stay a disciple, you won't go.
Okay?
Just like if you stay 3, you won't become 15. If you stay 18 and live in the house, you'll never get married. Okay? Independent and yet loyal to the word to do to move forward. Yeshua was independent in the sense that he was God in the flesh, but he was absolutely not independent. What did he say? I cannot do anything of my own authority. I am only doing what I see the Father doing. Somehow we've created this religion that he's some lone ranger kind of trying to flip the tables on his own Father. He was trying to flip the tables on you. Okay. I don't want any surprises. But at the same time, I want to get really practical because I do want to talk a little bit about some shifts. And I feel I didn't really get permission, but I feel like I'm operating from a new place. And I'm just going to talk because I have been feeling permission and some strategy that has come forth just in this last week that I just feel like I always say this hot off the press. I just want to share. There's other people that just don't even know what I'm going to share. But I just want to start talking about some of the things that are stirring. When we thought one thing, I think it's going to look a certain way. But I want us to be prepared because while those questions come up, especially when we dramatized the division last week and some stepped and some didn't, you see that gap. It could feel like, am I going to be left behind? You need to know that you have leaders that are doing everything they can, being loyal to the word to say, not under my watch. At the same time, you have to partner with that word to create the movement to be able to do that. So it's not like, so I personally walked over the line. It's not like I walked over the line. I'm like, peace. I mean, even though I wanted to. He's saying there's something that's going on here. And I think I want to just like talk about how I want to talk about what I feel he's saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm going back to prior to Torah. I'm going back to before this craziness happened and he revealed truth. When we started on a path, there are some words we've been using. I want to release these words over us so that we can understand what this leadership shift is. So my point is you've been in a leadership shift since you joined Kingdom Heirs. Since you got attached to the Kingdom Heirs DNA, he has been putting his breath on, I need you to shift out of a system, and I need you under my system. And then in my system, I'm going to keep shifting you in that system so that you'll function to the full capacity that I've asked you to function in. It's all the things you prayed for and saw no fruit. It's all the things you asked for, he's actually going to give you. Mm-hmm. But it's been a journey, right, to get here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to just release some words. Okay?
Okay.
Crisis to consistency. Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've talked about getting out of crisis to crisis mm-hmm. and operating in consistency.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Morning. Of allowing ourselves to operate from crisis to crisis
yeah.
is done
yeah.
tonight.
Right.
Not yeah. new. It did not get released to you over Hanukkah.
Yep.
It yes. was released to you 10 years ago.
Yes, it
right.
was.
It's just that Hanukkah was a warning. Cry, because you got 20 more days.
Yeah.
Because you are not going to be, you are not going to, it is not going to afford you in this next
so
season
yep.
to stay in crisis to
yes.
crisis
yes.
because of what I have for you in your inheritance will
yeah.
not sustain your crisis.
Yes.
The inheritance that I have, if any one of my children is operating from crisis to crisis, they will absolutely blow my inheritance.
Yep.
It,
yep.
They will not be able to sustain the inheritance
yep,
if they're operating
right
from crisis to crisis, which is why I actually have an excerpt in there. If they are in crisis, absolutely not.
Yep, that's yeah. really great.
So I cannot yep. have you in crisis. He cannot have you in crisis if he wants to give you the inheritance that he wants to give you.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Need-based to maintenance. We talked about this. Being need-based versus maintaining.
Yep.
Right? This is not new.
Yep.
Okay. Being need-based versus, it's everything we talk about, it's yours to lose.
Yeah.
You have everything you need, all you have to do is maintain. We've talked about not being a Band-Aid, but getting at the root level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. No Band-Aids, we say it. We understood it when it came time to the soup kitchen.
Yep.
But we didn't like it when it meant our Band-Aids.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were okay to not have the programs. Maybe not. That kind of took a while.
Yeah.
We were okay to not have the programs. But then when it meant I'm not a program.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Right? Like, it was okay to lay down programs as a community. But then when we start realizing, oh, I'm not the pastor's program.
Mm.
Yeah. I need a program. Then you are raised to maturity to get at root level. I'll get to the word, but the systemic issue
yes.
versus just putting a Band-Aid on the program, the issue.
Yeah.
Got it?
Yeah.
Yep. Remember when we talked about being a hospital?
Yes.
We like our hospital. But this is old. All
yes.
of us should be like, oh, we warned
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But this
yeah.
is all that this is. That's why I'm trying to give us hope. This
yes.
isn't some
yes.
kind of the leadership shift is just saying, I own. We are not a hospital,
mm-hmm.
and I am not going to be condemned for that.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
want to be a hospital. We've learned about being inside the camp
yeah.
and being outside the camp. I'm not saying that there's not a point of having a hospital, but the hospital should be getting them back into maturity, not
yeah.
keep you dependent,
yeah. right.
not keep you. I mean, think about it. I don't want to get in. I don't want to get into politics and that kind of stuff. But pharmaceuticals do not, right,
yeah.
Gabe? They do
yeah.
not care about prevention. They want you sick,
yes.
yeah.
so that you
yeah.
can stay in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To break away from the system, we've got to get out of the hospitals and actually begin to operate in some divine things so that we can function fully instead of being sick.
Yeah.
So we have moved from hospital to war room. We are not a hospital, but we are war strategists. Not new. This is what we've been doing. Remember when we talked about being a liability?
Yeah.
I don't want to be a liability. I want to be an asset.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Now, think about all these words and think about the old system of religion. Definite liabilities.
Yeah,
definite hospital,
yeah.
definite Band-Aids, definitely need-based, definitely crisis to crisis.
Yeah.
All he's saying is that system, that's what is shifting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, liability to asset, identity to commissioning. We've had this whole time to be able to receive identity, come out of an identity, receive an identity, so that, what? You can just have a really good identity?
Mm-hmm.
So you can be commissioned under the identity that you carry.
Yeah.
Okay? Self to others oriented. Self-oriented to others oriented. Not new.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one. Remember when we spent a lot of time on renter mentality?
Yes.
Renter mentality versus ownership. See how this all ties up with Joshua?
Yeah.
It's just, that's all this is.
Right.
Renter mentality to ownership. Enabling to transformation.
Yeah.
You enable.
Amen.
You will not get transformation. You will get codependency, and you'll feel really good about yourself as a leader, and you'll feel really good about yourself as a patient.
Yeah.
But then you never have transformation.
Right.
And then you go back, and then you have to be codependent, and it actually is an addiction.
Yep, that's such a great
enabling to transformation.
Yeah.
That's why we don't enable. People don't like it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
People don't like it here.
I'm telling you what, I can definitely sell. I mean, I'm not talking, maybe you guys don't lie, I'm not talking about you guys, but I just mean, I could definitely self-protect my status, and I could be preaching to a lot of people.
But then I would just
be enabling.
Yeah.
To require transformation, people are like, I will say whatever I need to say about those two because they are going to ask me to change and I don't want to change. So they're the problem. I'm not the problem.
Yep.
So therefore, because we don't enable, it feels like abandonment, or because we don't enable, it feels like, but that's Yeshua did not enable. Yahweh did not enable, and he's not going to enable later.
Yes.
He wants us to inherit. All right. Instant gratification. Remember that word? Working through instant gratification to what? Legacy.
Yay.
The opposite of instant gratification is legacy.
Okay.
I, I'm gonna be vulgar. You guys already know we talk about this all the time. Just think about it literally. Masturbation.
Yes.
You lost out on legacy. You could not create a child. You spilled your seed.
Yep.
It's that simple.
Yep.
Instant gratification to legacy.
Yep.
Okay. Instant gratification. Two. Another word for legacy is systemic sustainability.
Yeah.
Instant gratification is the absolute opposite to systemic sustainability.
Yeah.
We're after systemic sustainability. I am not after your gratification.
Right.
And I'm okay with that because I remember starting this whole process and standing up on the stage and looking at the door and being like, I am not here for your entertainment. If you would like to leave, I'll wait. And I still would say the same thing.
Amen.
He said it last week.
Yeah.
I'll love you, but you do not have to be here.
Yeah.
This is a house that is going to grow, it's going to transform, and we are after the answer of systemic sustainability, not anything else.
Yes.
We are not here for your comfort. We are not here for your ego. We are not here for, we are here to crush you, kill you, so that you can live, so that you can bring about the inheritance that's coming forward.
Amen.
Okay? All right.
Yes.
Surviving to thriving.
Woo.
We were once surviving. We are transitioning into thriving. We were, these are some kind of newer ones, but we have been very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
And we are going to be very actionable. Right, Eric?
Yes.
We've moved from knowledge to action. And that's okay. Knowledge isn't bad. But we have to remember that we're a people that are constantly going to move. We're never going to say, like, you guys, I think we have found it. I think this is it. Could you imagine? But some people do that. They get the first revelation, and then they die on that. That's our message. I swear, I cannot handle it. And they have the same message.
Yeah.
It's that 5-point, just same message. And I'm like, isn't that boring? I just, come on. I just feel like it's never going to be done. This is awesome. Okay? Knowledge to action. Disciple to assistant. Some of us didn't want to become disciples.
Yeah.
We wanted to stay believers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. You see the progression. We wanted to be believers.
Yeah.
This is another kind of crazy word. Do you even know what a believer is? Technically, the word believer was people believed in what was to come. That's what made them a believer, in the resurrection of the dead. And then we're over here saying believer. It's been said and done. It's finished calling ourselves believers. Anyways, that's another side note, but just an interesting thing. And we've gone from believer to disciple, which is to know the truth, not just believe. I'll just say it this way, not just believe the truth, but know the truth. And then disciple begins to know it and walk it out. And then we're moving into assistance, which is going to be another layer of walking out discipleship. Stagnant to movement. Right, all these things we've talked about. We've talked about this for a while, not being stagnant, but going into movement, and then draining versus expansion.
Yeah.
Or I should say, a drain versus expansion.
Yeah.
Same thing. I think three, We're going to be coming up on 3.5 years at Tabernacles. I think about 3 years ago, he started talking about expansion. I think he literally was just talking about this.
Yeah.
I think he was just putting words to what we've expanded on, and now he's saying you are in expansion, and you're going to continue to expand.
Yeah.
And he's giving us the verbiage to that expansion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
When we were trying to define that space that Megan kept talking about, she kept talking about, they need to fill a space so that we can fill a space, and I'd be like... There's this space. All it is movement from one glory to another glory. Okay?
Yeah. All right.
I'm not sure how I want to make this real. But... Let me give just a little bit of context, because this goes back to connection, because I want to bring up the relationship between rabbi and disciple. I'm going to say rabbi as leaders, teachers, and disciple and assistant. I want to give some context to some things that I don't think Western culture understands. In fact, I know Western culture doesn't understand, and religion definitely doesn't understand, because I would say that. First of all, I have just been feeling so fulfilled in some of my studies because I just thought we were these crazy people. And then the more I study, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's just so amazing sometimes when you look back and you're like, we were following his ways and have anyone to teach us or help us. Yeah. And yet by the Spirit of God, we were following truth and being able to flow in some things. But I'm just going to, I don't know how or why or what I need to do to be able to say this, so I hope I can do it. Because this is awkward. Mm-hmm. But it's awkward because I'm talking about myself, but this is where we are. One of the biggest attacks that we've had, these are the two big, there's probably a lot, but I would say the two biggest attacks.
I would say there's
quite a bit. You can prioritize. For tonight, these are the top two. Two top attacks. We're a cult.
Yes.
And we're too honored.
Yes.
Good. Amen. Because if you ever study scripture accurately, you will find those two things. I'm talking about the definition of a cult. I'm not talking about being a cult. You will actually find out that the thing that they're accusing us of, they're actually operating in a cult.
Yeah.
It's hard, without being able to get into this and teach this, but I want us to understand that during the time of Yeshua, during the time of prior to Yeshua, the culture he stepped in when rabbis and disciples, first of all, you only got, as a rabbi, you only got maybe a group of, let's just say 12. You did not have mega churches. You had a group of people that they then said, I commit my life to coming under you, following you, taking your instruction, and learning from you. To the extreme that they would want to act like, talk like, smell like, look like their leader. How many times have we been accused that you guys all think alike?
We all
talk the same. And I want to be like... But if you think about it, why would you get attacked for that? Isn't that what Yeshua said to do with his disciples? So we're in good company. Sounds weird because I'm talking about myself, but yes, I'm saying I want you to follow so closely that you know what we do, how we think, how we act, how we discern, how we raise, how we maneuver. Because that was a mark of a disciple, was to follow in that way.
Yeah.
I just think that's just so crazy, because those are the things that we've been attacked for. So my point is the ones that attack are the ones that want that independent.
Yes.
While they all act the same, think the same, right? It's all, I mean, we're all...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't, without being able to get into detail, I just want you guys to understand that culture, because that was so normal. When you see it through that lens and then you read the things that Paul said to Timothy, when you read the things that Yeshua was saying to his disciples,
yes,
you'll begin to understand what was happening within that that community,
yeah,
and in that group, okay?
Yeah.
It was a lifelong commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he just talked about with Joshua, because this is another thing that, how do I say this? This is what. Oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Do it.
Well, one of the things that I was even reading is a disciple never has the authority to argue or think differently or have another opinion than their leader. Now, I'm not, this is why it's awkward. I got no benefit keeping you guys around acting like that. You guys know that that's not the heart.
Yes.
But at the same time, I'm trying to point out,
yes,
the gap.
Right.
Yeah.
Because when it's me focused, no movement, not doing the work, it's the opposite of I will say this. I want to encourage everybody. Last week there was a seed. This week, look at that picture.
Yeah.
And I will say right now, from what happened last week, I have heard of more work and more movement,
yes,
than I have ever seen in the entire time I've been at Kingdomers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dang.
That is a good press.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the difference in that gap is the difference of, hold on, I need a program.
Yeah.
To, Mom, how do you do your laundry?
Yeah.
How do you function in life? What are you doing with your food? How do you get in the word?
Yeah.
What resources are you getting at?
Yeah.
How did,
yeah,
you get that wisdom?
Right.
How did you get that discernment? How were you able to?
Yeah.
That's going to be the difference between that line and this line,
yeah,
is,
yeah,
being able to know how to not only follow and be a true disciple, but also then move into the authority of assisting,
yeah,
is going to come from knowing to that degree.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm using me as an example because it's what you guys are afforded. Sorry. But
yeah,
Yeshua,
yeah,
said to
so
do the same,
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
if Yeshua spent his entire time following people around, he would not have fulfilled,
yeah,
his,
yeah,
agenda.
Yeah.
He said, follow me, come live with me, come spend time with me. I will pour out everything that I have.
Mm-hmm.
Pour out everything I have does not mean I am running around trying,
yeah,
to meet your needs.
Yeah.
He does meet needs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, this isn't a,
yeah,
bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The access,
yes,
gives you disbursement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're capping ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Being clear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay.
Well, let me add something before
go
get
ahead
to your next point. If you think about it, it's offensive to our culture and the way we live life to say or to bring to the forefront a way of living where people are so committed to a discipler that they talk like them, sound like,
yeah,
them, smell like them, all that kind of stuff. But when you consider the role as a true witness and how that works into the framework of taking authority and carrying it forward, and how by definition you can't divert from the word, it sounds offensive to say, if we were to say, you guys cannot have another opinion, right? Just in the practical sense of a rabbi-disciple relationship, if the unwritten rule is you can't divert.
Hold on. You can't, when we say that, you have to understand that we're dealing with the lens of Pharaoh.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not Pharaoh.
Right.
So I have every right and should have permission over,
yeah,
what we've done in your life,
yes,
to say you don't,
yes,
want another opinion outside,
yes,
of mine.
Yes. Amen.
I
For the longest time, we allowed everyone else's opinions because we needed to make sure everybody had an identity and everybody felt good. And everybody, and then there comes a point where it's like, all right, you want to move into assistance?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. So to remember, we were all in Exodus, so it's scary.
But it's like, if you just keep thinking about it, if you're self-focused, that's negative. Right? A true witness is somebody who will take the word. It's like playing telephone, right? She can say something in my ear, and the goal is to say it exactly how I heard it.
Yeah.
Right? If that's the definition of a true witness, then that's not offensive anymore.
Yeah. Yes.
But then if you're not self-focused, if you're just not on the receiving end of something, right, you understand that then not because you're thinking of it for your own benefit, but then you turn, and when you start discipling, then that same dynamic is there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the goal is bigger than ourselves. The goal is for us to be, if I'm going to be a crossover myself, I'm the bridge, then I have to take that and convey it so that I become a bridge.
Yeah.
If you aren't that, you'll spend all your time judging the word you heard.
Right. Yeah.
So then it stays here.
Yes.
I'm going to negotiate, I'm going to interpret, and then never became a crossover. Mm-hmm. We're so, Western culture, we're so concerned about being wrong that we're, well, what if I become a robot to you? What if I don't have a brain, whatever the fears would be. Well, what if you just, I'm just supposed to blindly follow you? Whatever that
people
issue
are concerned
is,
about being manipulated. Right? Like, oh, what if I get... But to me, when people say that, it's like, well, did God set you here?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe God set you here because you're going to deal with manipulation. I mean, I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
but like,
that's what I mean. Even then.
Yeah.
If he set you here, he set you here. Yeah. Then you got to deal with whatever. Right? We did the same...
Yeah!
We dealt with nonsense, and it was like, well, I got to take the nonsense with the good because... Right? It wasn't about...
But here's the thing. Here's the reason why I feel like we got to hone this in, though. Systemic sustainability.
Yeah.
We have absolutely fallen away from any type of mentorship. I'm not talking about Kingdomers. I'm talking about just in general. Fathers have turned away from parental. parents have no influence.
Right.
That we do not. If I'm under a mentor, then I'm being manipulated.
Yeah.
And if I'm under someone, you know, we have wanted this free. Free, independent. I know better. That is dangerous.
Yeah.
Let me say this. It is less dangerous. Mm-hmm. For you to be under a manipulator that is called by God, than for you to be a judgmental ass thinking you know better all on your own.
Yep, that's good.
Yes.
So that just clears the air. If I've got some kind of agenda, you're still better off.
Amen.
The fact that I'm in Flagstaff with all of you should prove that I do not have an agenda. But we are committed to becoming mechanisms of crossover.
Yes, amen.
And I feel like I could prove this up and down all day long, even in just this last week. I'm just going to give some examples.
Okay.
Gabe is not going to like it when we end here. Because when we end, he's got to come up and talk about tithing. And he doesn't want to have to do that. Well, a leader that doesn't see his crossover process would be like, well, you know, maybe you'd coddle, enable, and you'd come up with some kind of whatever. But let me free you of the tithing time. He doesn't get up here to tell you to tithe because you need to hear it. It has nothing to do with you guys. It has everything to do about his voice. And I'm watching him learn how to get a word from the Lord and give it to you in a moment. And he has a hard time doing that. So I told him, you're going to keep coming up here and talking about tithe. So if any one of you guys, I'm just freeing you right now. If any one of you guys are like, oh, I got to talk about money again. Because Gabe needs freedom. So you're going to be a crossover people during tithe time. And you're going to deal with Gabe's stories. Your wife gave me permission to say names.
True.
does that make sense? That's what a mom does.
Yes.
A mom doesn't go, well, we need to have three announcements. I'm watching.
Yeah. Yes.
So that's a perfect segue for what I want to share. I'm watching.
Yeah.
And I feel a shift. And seeing last week and turning around, I want to put some verbiage to some things that I think is going to happen. And I also want to put some timelines on some things. And you know, don't put me in a box because this may change. But this is where I'm at this week. Okay. Jason, can I use your analogy of hiking? Okay. This leadership shift, we've got a couple things going on here. We've got the morning date of tonight. We have Tabernacles that we've talked about at Tabernacles, where we were asking, do we do 3 years? Do we do another 3-year series of Torah? Do we do 1 year or do we move on?
Yeah.
We've got that in the back of our mind. Another thing that's been happening is the more we get in alignment, the more I realize we're off alignment. Does that make sense?
Yep.
He's leading us into alignment, maybe not off alignment, but there's refinement.
Mm-hmm.
So the more we get into alignment, the more refinement comes. We are really feeling, this is what was going on when I asked you guys to pray when we were leaving Texas. I really am feeling a stirring that we are not operating. I know we are not operating in our fullness for Shabbat.
Yeah.
There is a lot. We've taught on it, but there is a lot that we are not tapping into that I'm realizing Shabbat is actually right now, this divine time is our time to practice. We've talked about heaven, but now that we're starting to learn a little bit more about our destination, it is to practice the millennial reign. It's to practice the land filling, the land filled with overflowing wine and milk and honey and all. There's some things that we, like we do at Tabernacles, like we do at Pesach and Shavuot, we prophetically call forward some things. And I think we've talked about Sabbath as rest, and we keep honing it. It is not your escape day.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We say that, but I don't think we truly understand that because it's actually a time of prophetic calling forth his return.
Yes, amen.
Which there's a lot with that because of preparation, and that's why I'll get so bold about assistance, and we've got to move and all that kind of stuff because of what's coming. Sorry, I get off topic when I start thinking about what's coming. To be a house that will withstand the wind. There are things coming that this is so not about you.
Yeah.
This is so not about us. What's coming? We've got to be a house that is built on a rock. What does that mean? And he is asking us to be prepared. So we take that into consideration when we're thinking about 1 year, 3 year, all these shifts, and then you know, thinking about last week. So is this making sense what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Is it okay if I keep going for just a little bit?
Yes.
So I've been wrestling with, okay, then what do we do with that gap? Because if we keep moving, then we'll always... Well, then there always will be a gap. So either one has to slow down or one has to speed up naturally.
Yeah.
I know I'm talking just kind of literal, but slowing down is not an option. Because we're in expansion.
Right.
But what he showed me this week is that the role of movement can shift. So this is the analogy that Jason had. Because I was thinking of it as like running. Like unless speed changes, you just are going to keep, you're just going to keep the gap. So he was saying when you're hiking, and he's hiking with his kids, when you hike and your kids are falling behind, there comes a point where you stop as the leader, which happened at Shavuot. You stop as the leader, but that doesn't mean I stopped.
Right.
It means I took off my pack. It means I put on my binoculars and started looking around to see where we need to go.
Mm-hmm.
I start calling forward.
Yeah.
Movement didn't stop. The position or the role changed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're still hiking, But you can see from another vantage point versus just continuing to go. You are still leading,
right,
but you're changing what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
in your leading so that we can all keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are some things that are coming up. I am not saying that anything's changing tomorrow, but I am feeling a shift in our services. I think our time needs to change in order to be able to honor Shabbat.
Yeah.
It's not that we're not honoring Shabbat, but let me give an example. We do not understand Pesach very well if we don't understand the day of preparation. The day of preparation is when everything happened with him on the cross. But if we are not honoring Friday and being able to honor the day of preparation, then we're not preparing ourselves for what's to come.
Yeah.
So what's happening is some of us might be able to prepare properly. Remember Friday, double work?
Yeah.
Some of us are able to do double work. Some of us are not able to do double work.
Right.
Yep.
Something's out of order. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but we are committed to figuring out a little bit more about synagogue, a little bit more about what did Paul do, a little bit more about what Yeshua is doing in order to shift us, because we believe that there will be advancement when we just shift in divine time. Not saying that this isn't a divine time, but I think that he has a divine time for us that might come with some changes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's what we're feeling. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what are our services? Because, I mean, let's just cut it straight. We open.
Mm-hmm.
We have announcements.
Yeah.
We close. We preach. We're pastors. Does it make sense?
Yes.
Something's going to get old here.
Yes.
Yep.
Something's going. We keep making meals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not going to move us into assisting.
Right.
So we got to match.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. But something's got to match.
Mm-hmm.
We've made a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. We're crazy.
Yeah.
And anybody that's come from a religious world would say that we've made a lot of changes. And I'm like, guys, not that much.
Yeah.
We just call it different names. I mean, we have. We're on a journey. But I just feel like there is more to come. There's more shifting to come. I have no idea what that means or what that looks like. But but I believe that he has something for us. Okay, so there's that. So that's what's out on the table. The other thing is we have to make a decision about tabernacles. And if we're going to do 1 year or 3 year. I'll just tell you where I'm leaning. Most of you guys said to do another 3 years. Some people said we're ready to move on.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm seeing. I think that we need to do 1 year. So at Tabernacles, we're going to do one more year.
Yeah.
At this point, we're going to do one more year. The reason for that is because I think 3 years is going to keep us where we are right now. And we're going to just stay in that divide. We'll just keep going. I think that that's too long, but I do not think we are ready to move on. And here's why.
Yeah.
If we move on, I'm going to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, at Tabernacles, what I'm seeing is we're going to stop and pull the binoculars out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like if you have not been a disciple, have not done the work, and you're on the other side of the line, it's almost like I'm giving a timeline. Come Tabernacles, you've got 1 year to keep going while we stop and get the binoculars out.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that, because what I'm feeling is that's when things are going to shift, because if I've got my binoculars on, I can't keep teaching Torah.
Yeah.
So guess what? You've had the foundation. You've had all of that. That 1 year is going to do a lot. Number one, you're going to have 5 chapters in 1 week.
Yeah.
So the momentum is going to be real fast.
Yeah.
You're going to have a lot of work to do, but I also don't think we're just going to dispense for another year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a time for us to establish and settle in the foundation that's been given to us, and it's going to give us the freedom to be able to stop and really take a look at where are we going.
Yeah.
Get everybody across that line so that when we see what's coming, we will be able to fight.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
I don't know if you guys know breath on that. That's where I've been this past week. That's kind of what I'm feeling. I'm not saying that that's not going to change, but so kind of just be, I want us to be prepared. I want us to be thinking about this because we've got until, what is Tabernacles, like 7-8 months? It's the end of September, so 9 months, almost 9 months, 8 months. We've got 8 months to be really thinking about this. I don't know that there's going to be shifts until then, but just be thinking about that so that we can. I wanted to make this real, what this leadership shift meant.
Yeah.
What I'm feeling in the spirit is we cannot function under a different word and still call it something else.
Right.
Yeah. As I talked to you guys about process, well, we can't be like we're having service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't say we're meeting at the Cajal and still have church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just like I'm saying to you guys, I don't want you guys to be stuck in a process. I don't want us to be stuck in service.
Right.
Yes.
No, right.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like, but that is going to come. There is going to, it's not just, we're going to change leadership shifts. Like we are going to establish what has been given to us and we're going to start moving in this stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Good.
All right. To that.
Yes.
Okay. Clear?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. A couple things when it comes time to discipleship that's just kind of crazy. They commit to take up someone else's life. Like they commit to taking on someone else's life and legacy because then when they turn, they're able to dispense that same legacy. They're not teaching another word. They're teaching the word that was taught to them.
Mm-hmm.
Which right now in Western theology, Western culture would say that's a cult.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Yeshua.
Yeah.
He told you to take his message and dispense his message.
Yes.
Don't make your own.
Yes.
Yeah.
So if we say the same thing, we're not weird.
Yeah.
We're just biblical.
Yeah.
But when you're biblical, you look weird because you're set apart.
Yep.
You're not doing it the way everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But does that make sense? It's not so that you guys will do our word because you guys know that we are committed to being crossover mechanisms and we are trying to hear his word and just dispense it exactly as we heard it.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you right now, the words he's given me, I did not want to dispense the way he said it. But this is what he told us to dispense, which is why we are in a narrow road.
Yep.
Right.
And this is why we get persecuted.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. It's what you're connected to. It's what you're following. Oh, yes. I want to talk about following. So let's just make this, let's just think about, I was going to do it as an example. Yeah. What time is it? I said I was going to be 4.
This is really good.
Sean, stand up right here.
Sean
was on the other side of the line. He shouldn't have been. He shouldn't have been, because I watch his life, and the reason why he was is because the way he self-reflects.
Yes.
But I told him he should not have been on the other side of the line, because he's lived a life of crossover.
Right.
He doesn't know anything other than crossover.
Yes, right.
Okay, but okay, so stand right here. So you're on this side of the line. No, like this. There's the line. You did not cross over. Okay. And then I crossed over. Okay. So I cross over, and this is what I see in the spirit. If you have crossed over, we are going to turn around and we are going to stare you down. But that's crazy. Because I'm not saying I'm going to, okay, well, what's going on with your process and how can I help you? I'm going to stay right here and I'm going to tell you where the standard is and I'm going to stare at you until you come over here. See, there's a difference. So turning around, I'm going to stare you down. Okay, so there's that. Here's the other thing. This is the reason why I'm going back to connection. Do you see the difference when we talk about the difference in connection or covenant when it comes time to rabbi and disciple?
Yes.
Okay, connection says, are you able to give me an analogy of what updating me would look like? So I'm like, do the boxer sound.
Do the boxer sound.
I'm like, there is a giant right there.
Yeah.
Whatever the boxer sound is, right?
Yeah.
Hey mom, I gotta tell you about, I gotta tell you about something.
Oh, okay, hold on.
So connection says, I need you to know more about me and what's going on with me. Not understanding that at the level that I'm sitting at, I already know. You're updating me on an update I have already been hovering over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
The issue that you told, now this is real. He comes to me and says, I slipped. I messed up. I made a mistake. I know. I was up at 11 o'clock last night. Mm-hmm. My intercession.
Yeah.
Right? Right, Sally, Derek? Derek, I realized I'm a zombie. Thanks for catching up. It's been 12 months.
Amen.
Now we got something to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got it?
Yes.
So what happens is, so I'm over here, and then he connection to him says, my one time a day, or sometimes my one time a month, is I'm going to, I need you to come over here, and I need you to hear about what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. Here's the difference. I should be you. So you've crossed over. This is what it looks like to be a disciple. I don't know how to get over there, but I need you to tell me what you're doing over there.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're doing.
Yes.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. Where are you going? What are you looking at? What are you studying? What's going
there?
On? Can I come over?
Yep. Amen.
I'm trying to give more. So I'm trying to give like more examples.
Yes.
Let me give an example. Ellen, she's been assisting me in the house. Mm-hmm. Not just like personal assistant for Arrowhead District. She's been assisting me in the house. Do you know what she said to me? It shot me through the heart. We're in the kitchen. We're working together in the kitchen. We're working together in the kitchen. And she goes, Mom, I know you've told me this for years, but seeing it in action, I can actually do it in my life. 3 days later, she's changed the way she's budgeting. She's changing the way she's doing groceries. And they have a totally different way of doing this weekend.
Yeah.
Transformation. Why? Because she was in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Guess what? I wasn't working. I wasn't studying. I wasn't trying to prepare you a sermon. I wasn't trying to rev you up. We were just doing life.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she learned something that caused transformation. She even said, you've been telling me this forever.
Yep.
That's what I feel like sometimes. I'm like, I can say this forever.
Yeah.
Well, the action is going to be show me.
Yeah.
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 Right.
Okay. Where we've been is, can you tell me?
Yes.
Instead of, I'm watching you, now
yes.
Show me.
Yep.
That was so good.
That's a totally different thing. That's why I think services are going to change.
Yeah.
It's not going to be so much knowledge. It's not going to be so much giving you information.
Yeah.
It's going to
be
watch me and show me what I do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, you can sit down.
That was really good.
So that is the way discipleship was. That's why Yeshua so easily said, let the dead bury the dead. Come and follow.
Yeah.
They did life. They sat down when he, and there was a difference. You've got to study it. When he did go in the synagogue and he did teach, and then he sat down and he brought a message. But then he took the ones that wanted transformation that were going to follow and took them behind a cove and sat with them and talked with them and did life with them. But only for 3 years.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we are the biggest advocates. We cannot, we will die if we create codependency.
Yeah.
We're going on 10 years. 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're already beyond the 3-year limit.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that means, but there is ascending and there is discipling nations. And so there's, I think that is a huge part of the shift. But does that make any sense with connection?
Yes.
You're looking at covenant. I have committed my life to learning what you have.
Yeah.
Versus here, I just wanted to make sure you knew where I was at today.
Yeah.
I needed you to know what's been going on in my life.
Yep.
It's like, I already know. Come find out what's going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can say that boldly because that's what Yeshua did. Yeshua was not concerned. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't concerned. He did. He reached out and he healed. But then he said, now come follow. Come figure out what's going on in my life.
Yeah.
Come figure out the Father I'm following.
Yes.
Come figure out the word I'm carrying, because the word you've been carrying has been giving you a blood issue your entire life.
Yeah.
I'll turn around, stop for a moment, call you a daughter. But now it's time to come and follow me.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Grab onto my hem.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Now let me give you a life-transforming word. And then at some point, I'm not going to be here. You go and give that life-transforming word. The identity word, daughter, was one moment.
Yeah.
We've spent 15 years in daughter.
Trying to receive Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay? This is what I mean by we're all behind the line.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not trying to create. We're all behind the line. Yeah. We all have to have that word to be able to give that life-transforming word, because that is what he's required of us. That is what evangelism is. That's what a true disciple is.
Yep.
That's what a true apostle is. That's what a true sent one is. Yeah. That's all this is redefining where we're going.
Yeah.
Because of the foundation that he's given us.
Yep.
That was good.
It makes sense?
Yeah.
That's why our prayer life cannot be that way either. Hey, Yahweh.
Yeah.
I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know where you're forthcoming. I don't know what binocular. I don't know what spirit realm. I don't. But I just need you to know how my night was.
Yeah.
How my day.
And he's like, I do, girl.
Yeah, I know. He's like, I know.
But that's a tangible expression of me focused versus others focused or him focused.
Yes.
And then I do want to, I don't, I'm kind of a passive parent, so I always throw this in. I want to be bold, but I do want us to be equipped. Abraham had every right to be like Yahweh. So I'm not saying this, you know, when you get to maturity, the friendship and the authority and the back and forth covenant that you get with the one that you've been under is absolutely out of this world. So it's not like it's, is that making sense what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to say that he's wanting robots. He wants a relationship, but it's got to be in order.
Right.
We want to be Abraham negotiating at like day two. And really the spirit behind it is so that I can test if you're actually a leader, because I don't know if I'm going to follow you, and I haven't even really made a decision if I'm going to stick around. I don't even know if I like you, and I don't even know if Yahweh asked me to stay, but I just want to make sure you know that I have the authority to negotiate everything you think.
Yeah.
That is totally different than Abraham having a relationship, honoring the angels that were there, and then out of compassion for other people, pleading on behalf of, totally different than our negotiation. But he does allow for that relationship. So there's more even beyond assistant.
Amen.
So you cannot be, or let me say this, divine. He cannot learn to be an assistant if he doesn't transform into the way that I'm doing things.
Yeah.
Like if he just stays in knowledge, or if he just stays as disciple, but doesn't actually practice or start assisting me in doing the things that I'm doing, you don't actually transform your life and learn how to actually do it. How many of us have learned something and then you go to put your hands on it and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Did I? Because once you do it, you know, I can, I am horrible at this. I read a recipe and I'm like, I got it. And then I go to step one. I'm like, hold on. Reread. Look at it again. Measure again. And, but in my mind, I'm like, I got it. I got the information. Then I go to do it and I'm like, hold on. Hold on a second. But then there comes a point where you start making hollow bread. Over and over and over again. And it just becomes second nature. That's what assisting does. If we stay and keep giving me the recipe, we're never going to put our hands to it, and we're never going to bake anything.
Yes.
And it's going to, I mean, the first time you bake it, it's going to look, I mean, it's not cute. It's not cute. It doesn't look like Whole Foods challah bread. It's not cute. It's just not, I mean, or I was going to say that was a horrible analogy. It does not look like Brian challah bread. But Brian would tell you, would you be able to preach your challah bread recipe?
Yes.
And would I be able to go home and execute what you did?
I think so.
By just preaching it?
Well, no. I mean, no, you'd have to practice it and put it into your daily.
But we'd have to watch.
And I probably would have to be in the kitchen with you and watch, because the language he may even get, he might say, give me something you might do. I wouldn't even know what that is. Yeah, so if he was like, okay, step four, you proof it, and I'm like, I will prove. Right? Like, you go home and you are like, I'm going to prove. He told me, you guys all do this. You get a word, and then the next Shabbat, I get a message, and I'm like, what the did you do? What did you hear? I did not say that at all, but I mean, to someone who doesn't know what you're talking about would absolutely be like, I'm going to prove this. And he's like, actually, hands off, let it rise, right? Okay. Right? I'm like, I'm going to prove this thing. would just manhandle the puffing up. Like, that's not supposed to happen. So we'll see how that works. The best way for me to learn Brian's hollow bread is to, yes, absolutely get his instruction, understand his language, understand what he's talking about, but then probably get in the kitchen, follow him, and even then, I'm going to have to, what, one time? No. No. Yeah. We did it with Gufong. Mm-hmm. Annika, can any one of you guys take that recipe? I know you wrote it down. Could you guys take it home and do it? And have it look the way that it looked. It may or may not be the same, but if you could, it was because you would remember that you were in there with your hands on it. Yeah. If I just gave you the recipe, you'd be like, this is wet.
Yeah.
You know, so anyways. Yeah. Am I getting the point across? Yeah. So those are some of the things that I'm feeling. And again, this is not new. I just think that our season of what we've known and what we have asked to come out of is coming to a close, which is going to give us momentum to actually do the things that he is saying that we're going to do.
Amen.
How, what, where, when. That's the beauty of our leadership.
Yes. Amen.
Is we don't have a plan.
Amen.
Except follow him.
Yes.
Yeah. And get in his kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you want me in his kitchen.
Yeah.
You don't want me in your kitchen.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible analogy. I just said we needed to be in Brian's kitchen. But does that make sense?
Yeah.
You ultimately, to get across that line, you want me in his kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do not want me in your kitchen, even though it feels good to have me in your kitchen.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to come up into my kitchen because I've been in his kitchen, and that is how we're going to be able to forward progress. Not the other way around, or else we're going to get stagnant. We're going to get drained. We're not going to expand. We're going to go backwards, and we're going to do the very thing that killed us in the first place and why we wanted this all to begin with. Amen?
Amen.
Gabe?
Hold on.
Oh, I was going to say, you should feel free. You should feel free tonight.
Yeah, go. Well, come up here. I just want to leave with this in everybody's mind. I mean, she talks about the accusation, but...
One more example when you're done.
If you boil down what we're talking about tonight, fidelity to the original word. I mean, that's been like our heart forever, to be a true witness, is fidelity to the original word. And when she talks about those accusations, hopefully we're encouraged, and I'm glad we can laugh about it, because we are stepping into a more profound oneness and unity than we have before, right? I mean, in the past week, I've heard people have said, so-and-so sounds like you. So I've talked to so-and-so, and they sounded just like you. Right? People will take that and accuse us of stuff, but we're stepping into a much deeper...
And it was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound like Tanya. Full of manipulation.
Yeah.
Literally, 2 days ago.
But, listen, like she said, it's John 14, 7 through 11. Yeshua says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
If you've heard me, you've heard the Father.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, we are set apart because we're tapping into something that is generational bridges that allow for fidelity to the original word. Like, I mean, it's just simple.
That's so good. Yeah.
Right? Our heart is fidelity to the original word.
Yeah.
We never aspired to be in a position to have people operate like us. Like, that wasn't... Right? Yahweh just had his way, and this is the position we're in, and we don't want to play games about our witness.
Yeah. Yes.
I have to account for my witness.
Yep.
I have to account for the witness of our household. I'm not about to put that at risk because of some... I just want to have people... That doesn't... Anyway.
It's good.
I just want to leave it with that scripture.
Can I have one example? I want us to, because this is what action's going to do. I know we're talking about bread, and I know we're talking about, you know, let me see. I think I talked about laundry. I want you guys to understand what it is that's being received. It is a supernatural wisdom with understanding and discernment that is filled with life at every moment. I want to give an example. I had a granddaughter, spiritual granddaughter, text me. A granddaughter in this house. They're not here to like ask if I can say it, but you know, It's a granddaughter in this house. The question, this is a teen female. And I want to read this because I want to read this because shut up. It's a mystery. Lorraine will be fine. I did that on purpose. Okay, she's a teen, and she's asking about working on a relationship with Yahweh, but what does it look like in the future when searching for my husband? Because everybody has boyfriends, and I have a crush, but I don't date. I'm getting a question like that. I don't have time to go into a process to get wisdom on behalf of this girl. So that makes, I can't be like, oh, I gotta figure out what Yahweh says about that. And is this making sense? When you become an assistant, you immediately know the word of the Lord over someone's life.
Yes.
I want to read immediately what I said. And I'm so bold on here, and I said, show your dad, because he's going to agree. Mm-hmm. I just know.
Yeah.
There's going to be agreement. That's what I'm talking about. It's not manipulation. It's a word of the Lord, and yeah. It's life.
Yeah.
We bring life.
Yeah.
Why is anybody irritated and thinking we're, oh, okay, I've manipulated you into joy. I'm here to manipulate you into life.
Don't worry, I'm better off.
Yeah, like what, I mean.
In your marriage.
What, yeah, I'm going to manipulate you into a full covenantal marriage. I'm going to manipulate you into waiting till you're married to have sex. Such a manipulator. So what? We're honored. People's lives have been freaking changed.
Yeah.
They're living, and they have a legacy. And, I mean, Gabe's talking about, Gabe, where are you? He's talking about he's been fully adopted. His DNA is completely changed.
Yeah.
He's from health to money to...
Yep.
Yeah. So I manipulated you, son, so that you could have more money when you retire. Doesn't make any sense. I'm manipulating you into making sure your wife gets a second house. Does that make any sense? I mean, these are real examples. Jen, Steve, I'm manipulating you so you'll be sober.
Amen.
See, people are gonna start changing their language. They're gonna be like, you're gonna want to be manipulated. Okay, let me read this, because this is the word of the Lord. In a moment, when those tough times, I mean, it's funny now, but there's tough times.
Yeah.
Knowing what he said and what to, how to be tenacious after, especially when life, when that promise doesn't look like it's good.
Yeah.
You have to be faithful to what he said so you can persevere and endure to the promise, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is what I said. First, what it should look like is you continue to search Yahweh, not religiously, but passionately. Learn how to fall head over heels over the one who adores you. Yes, as a father, but also as your partner. I know this is a strong word. You're a young woman, but you are becoming a woman, so I'm going to say lover. He is the lover of your soul. The more you seek him, the more your future husband will come into picture.
Amen.
Before you can search for him, you have to know what he looks like, acts like,
amen.
And ultimately, most importantly, who he serves, how he treats his mom. Right now, focus on dreaming him into being. Know that Yahweh knows who he is, and he is being made perfect. When you get tempted to want things of this world, pray for your future. Pray for him now. Yahweh, protect him, guide him, raise him, purify him. Mm. It's like you get to create the perfect husband list. Crushes are nothing. Maybe a boy is cute, but is he deserving of my favorite? Everyone can have boyfriends. Watch them come and go, play and get hurt. You stand firm, stand apart, and follow Yeshua.
Amen.
That's good.
When a 13-year-old asks you a question and you're operating in crisis, you're operating in survival, enabling,
yeah.
renter mentality, self, you're going to be like, you're not allowed. Just you shut your eyes and go to school and just shut your feelings off and you just got to wait till you're married or wait till dad gets home. Or whatever that is. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't have any wisdom.
Yeah.
You don't have any discernment. You're going to use fear tactics. That's
yeah.
manipulation.
Yes. Yeah.
What I said is not manipulatious.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what happens with assisting. You assist him in life and you begin to see how he is.
Yes.
Not just give me a word. I know his character, so I'm like the daughter who said, hold on a second.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I already
yes.
know his character.
Yes.
I already know what he's going to say.
Yes.
Here's what he says.
Yes.
I'm an ambassador.
Yeah.
If I'm an ambassador, I don't even need, at some point, if I know how to make his bread, I don't need to keep coming and asking him if I'm allowed
yeah.
to make that bread.
Yeah.
I don't need
yeah.
to keep coming and asking him, how do I do it?
Yeah.
I just make it.
Yeah.
And then when
yeah.
someone else tells me how to do it, I get to become like Brian and show him how to make the bread.
Yeah.
See how this works?
Yes.
Amen. Okay,
and what
now.
If the person asks you, man, how did you learn how to make bread like this? Mm-hmm. You're going to honor
yes.
who taught you how to
make
bread.
Oh, oh. You
this
should
is
see,
all me.
You should really? See me in the kitchen. I know how to proof a thing. Like, you should know the one I've been in that kitchen to.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean... Never mind.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's happening is discernment and a word
yeah.
is coming. Because you know him, you've assisted him, you're close to him,
yes.
and you're not so much trying to figure out what he's saying for your life, but you just know what he says.
Yes. Amen. That was good.
Sorry, one of the things I'm working on is giving a word in like 20 minutes, so.
No, that was really good.
All right. Make this short and sweet.
We already
good.
Wrote the check,
Andy. See, now you're free.
There you go.
You're free to give a word because he already wrote the check. You're not mad at the check. He's free. Give us a word.
If you guys, I mean, just following what they're saying, if you guys are struggling or don't understand why or what we tithe and any of that, find someone that does and watch them. Okay?
Okay. That's a good word.
Well, with that, I think that just lends itself to a shift that we're feeling in general within the family. And it's already spoken to. It's not anything new, but you guys can see it. We can feel it. We don't need enticed to tithe. You guys don't need to be constantly reminded. We've got a bucket that goes around, touches your hand. You know what that means. So we're gonna utilize that. So with the effectiveness that Mom's talking about, we're not going to take 40 minutes to try to speak to something, try to drag you along across the other side to tithe. We know what that means, and we're going to do it. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So with that, one thing that I think is important that we do continue to speak to is an aspect of first fruits.
Yeah.
That has been something that we've kind of touched on in and out, and we've addressed at different times, but I think as we step into
yeah.
that next layer of following and doing what he's doing,
yeah.
there's an aspect of really understanding first fruits that I think will continue to be unraveled and released in our assistance to him and what that looks like for our money to actually assist him.
Yeah.
So practically, even just kind of speaking from like a board's perspective, I think you guys remember, but for first fruits, do we remember that is what is fueling our expansion?
Yes.
Do we remember that? If not, that's your reminder. First fruits is what we use for sendings, for multiplying, and for that
your
expansion.
Binoculars.
Yes, they pay for the binoculars. Just kidding. But they are what we use for expansion. So practically, one of those opportunities that we have coming up is Mom and Dad. We are
yeah.
sending them as a family. This isn't just like a quick like, hey, I'm going to give you flowers on your way out. But it's a sowing into expansion, knowing like the process that he's taking to and what that is going to lead us forward in.
Yeah.
So whenever you guys are thinking about your first fruits, practically it's next week. You can do that tonight if you're feeling stirred. There's a lot that I think that we could definitely sow into as a first fruit as we cross over into assisting and
yeah.
not staying in
yes.
that place of
yeah.
disciples. that there's an immediate activation in some of those things. Yeah. So if you're feeling stirred, I would encourage you to do that tonight, but it is practically next week. But I think there's just some crazy things about this next month to just hit on really quick. This next month is righteousness becomes your foundation. It's a time to develop a plan and sustain the generations. Woo! We're taking inventory of the trees in our field. I like freaked out. You're taking inventory of the trees in your field and seeing what's ready to bear fruit. It's also the, I don't know anything about constellations. I'll have to assist mom in understanding that somehow. But the constellation for this next month is Aquarius, which is the water bearer. It's where the roots awaken to the water of life. So there's aspects of like just our life that have been rooted and brought deeper and deeper. And he's saying now sustain it and live in life. So I think that there's quite a few things that we can immediately sow into and be ready to move in. So I think that that is about it. So
we do communion and stuff like that. Then that's next week.
Next week. Which practically you guys know, mom and dad will be gone. We will be sending them as we shift our focus from ourselves. Right? Feed me. Tell me more about myself. Tell me how cool I am for the last 10 years. We're shifting ourselves from our self-focus into honoring the foundation. Like literally everything that they said. Let me go back to my note. This is what you're sowing into in expansion. Crisis to consistency. Mourning to stay in where you are. That was a different note. Sorry. We're sowing into being needs-based into maintaining.
Yeah.
We're not a band-aid, but the root. Not a hospital, but a war room.
Yeah.
Not a liability, but an asset.
Yep. So good.
Identity to commissioning. Mm-hmm. Self-oriented to others-oriented. Renter to owner. Enabling to transformation. Instant gratification to legacy. Surviving to thriving. Knowledge to action. Believers to disciples to assistants. Stagnant to movement, draining to expansion.
Amen.
There are some heavy things that we are sowing into to be able to keep going.
Thank you for listening to this message from Kingdom Heirs International. If you have received insight and revelation with this message, we invite you to claim that revelation by trading on the trading floor with this ministry. You can do that at Kingdom Heirs. flag.org. Thank you.